Good morning.
Good morning.
When you were a student or are still a student, did you or do you look forward to taking tests? Tests in school do serve a good purpose. Now, that doesn't mean everyone has to enjoy taking those tests. Life is full of tests, some generated by God, others allowed by Him to serve a good purpose in our life. Now, so that we may pass those tests, that's why we're here once again, to worship our God and hear His word here in person and also online. To God be the glory as we turn our attention now to the invocation on page 3. Praise the Lord, O my soul, O my inmost being. Praise His holy name.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits.
We worship this day in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please stand. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name.
Who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In his great mercy, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through his called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name.
As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Amen.
Be seated. On this first Sunday in Lent, a reading from Holy Scripture from Genesis chapter 22. Here we have a test, an example, trust, as well as commitment. God grant us such trust and courage as we face our own tests. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Solid in Christ, we can withstand what this life dishes out to us. A reminder of this, reading from Holy Scripture, Romans 8. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Mark, the first chapter. It's official. Jesus' public ministry has begun. At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now sing our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace thankfully remain ours in great abundance from God our Father and also through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We turn back to these words from the book of Genesis. Abraham answered, "God himself will provide." This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, thanks to him, we are passing students. What has been a memorable test for you in your lifetime? Was it perhaps during the elementary or high school years? It was memorable because you studied hard for that particular test, either because you really enjoyed that subject matter or because you really needed to pass that test to get to the next level. Maybe it was a driver's license test. Maybe it was a test to get into law or medical school, or maybe to graduate from law or medical school. Maybe it was a test to get your contractor's license. What was that memorable test for you, and why? Life is full of tests, memorable for a variety of reasons, maybe not all positive. Life is full of tests which also can impact us physically and or mentally and or spiritually. Perhaps as we endure such a test that impacts one or all three areas of our life, it appears to be going on for a long time, or perhaps it is going on for a long time. Now, whatever the scope of the test might be, tests in and of themselves are not really a bad thing. They can help us grow and find out where we are at. They do serve our best interests, spiritually above all. Because all tests, whether they be in the school setting or impacting our life in some other way, they provide us with an opportunity to trust that the Lord provides. Case in point, an example of trust that the Lord provides is He is the one who puts tests or allows tests in our life is Abraham. Now, with this particular test of Abraham, we give thanks that not everyone is asked to have to go through the same kind of tests. What might be a test for one person may not necessarily be a test for another. The Lord does not ask every one of us what He asked of Abraham, to sacrifice one of your own children. In this case, the long-awaited son, promised son to Isaac, of Isaac, to Abraham and Sarah. So as Isaac is growing up in his teenage, young adult years, the Lord puts this test before Abraham. I mean, the bond had grown between this long-awaited son and his father. And now the Lord comes to him and says, I want you to sacrifice him like a burnt offering. I mean, total, nothing left, complete offering to the Lord. And what was Abraham's response? The next day, he is on his way to do what the Lord has asked. But it wasn't just going to happen the next day. It was a three-day journey, 50 miles, give or take, to the place where the Lord said, sacrifice your son Isaac to me. So Abraham had time to think about what the Lord had asked him to do, and could have backed out. But Abraham shows something, an example to us. What did he show? Trust. God fulfilled His promise in the first place of giving us a son who was to carry on the promise of the line of the Savior. And if God had fulfilled that promise, and He has, and God is now asking me to give up this son, to sacrifice him, well, the Lord must have something in mind. I don't know what it is, but I know He can provide. And it's evident in the fact, too, what does He say? to his servants when they get to that point of where the sacrifice is to take place. We're going to go on from here and worship the Lord, and we will return. One way or another, we are going to return. Abraham trusted that the Lord would provide. It's interesting, too, that this is the place where the sacrifice was to take place that David later on would purchase as the site to build the temple. The place where the Lord will provide. The Lord gives tests as a way to increase our trust in him, or to at least remind us of our trust that it is in him. Another case in point, Job. As with Abraham, the test was not for the Lord. The Lord knew where Abraham and Job stood, but it served as a reminder to Abraham and Job where they stood in relation to the Lord, and also for Job, right, to Satan to say, Job is faithful to me not because I'm spoiling him, but because of the faith that has been planted in him. Job endured some pretty intense tests, which impacted him physically and mentally and spiritually. And yet, the Lord provided. I mean, because Job was right in the sense of that God was not punishing him as in a vindictive way, and yet he did struggle why the test was coming in such an intense fashion in his life, but there still was that remnant of faith that remained that the Lord will provide. Now, what are those tests that the Lord has thrown into your life, which impact you physically and or mentally and or spiritually? It can be a physical illness. I mean, think of the Apostle Paul and that thorn in the flesh that he asked God on numerous occasions to get rid of. And how many times have you asked God to help you through a physical illness, and yet he still has allowed it to remain? That can weigh on us mentally and spiritually. Maybe the test comes in the form of a job loss or struggling at the job. Again, that can have a physical impact along with a mental and spiritual impact. Maybe the test comes in the form of the state of our country. That can weigh on us mentally and spiritually. I mean, the test does not always have to be directly impacting us, but indirectly it can impact us. And so through those tests that are either direct or indirect, the Lord gives us an opportunity to grow in our trust in him that he will provide. Connected to him, we are to be connected to him not just in the good times, but also through the tough times. That's the lesson of Abraham, the lesson of Job, in addition to the other lessons from them. That's the lessons that the Lord continues to teach us. It's easy to love me, the Lord says, when I'm giving you everything you need and want. But when you think you're not getting what you need and want, well, are you still trusting in me? And so those tests serve that purpose to show yes, we are, or no, we're not. You know, the Apostle Peter has said, make your calling and election sure. Well, how can we do that? Well, how are we doing with the tests that come into our life? Are we trusting that the Lord will provide even if we don't see the outcome yet? Or are we ready to walk? Tests reveal what is happening. Why tests even happen in the first place? Because of sin in the world. There are going to be trials and tribulations and tests that come upon us. And so again, those tests, whether they be in the school setting or in the life setting, they may not be enjoyable, but they do help to serve a purpose of lifting us up, of our best interests, of finding out where we are at and where we need to improve. Again, God knows the answer. It's we who need to know the answer. And how many times, whether it had been in school or throughout life, when those tests come upon us or they're looming, do we fill ourselves up with worry and anxiety? And what does Jesus have to say about worry and anxiety? Many things. One of the things that he has to say is, who by worrying can add a single hour to his or her life? Worry does the opposite. And yet, how often is our life filled with worry? Hasn't the Lord provided answers time and time again to the various tests and challenges we go through in this life? And yet, what do? Time and time again, when they come, we worry, we get anxious, we doubt. And do we begin to understand why the Lord continues to send us test after test? Because his goal is not just to pass the test here on earth, but to make sure that we pass the test so that we are with him forever in eternity. Now again, tests are different from temptations. James chapter 2 reminds us, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away from their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Now, when we are facing trials and tribulations and tests and temptations, again, to make that distinction that God is not going to tempt us with the goal of failing us, God is going to test us with the goal of strengthening us. But unfortunately, how many people do we know have failed the tests? And instead of trusting in the Lord, more and more have walked away. Nothing new. And until the end of time, it will continue to be that way. Thus, the reminder that we need before us to, when those tests come, to trust in the Lord, and when temptation comes, again, to put our trust in the Lord and to walk in his ways and his commands. Those tests then give us an opportunity to grow in our faith and in our relationship with God, and also then to witness. Think of the witness Abraham provided to his son Isaac, and then to his servants and everyone else too. When Isaac asks those questions of his father, and Abraham doesn't go into rant and raving and complaining, but gives the simple answers all wrapped around the fact that the Lord will provide. Abraham definitely showed that definition of faith recorded for us in Hebrews. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Lord, I don't know the outcome of this, but I know you have a positive outcome for me that you will provide, and he did. The Lord has unique ways of grabbing people's attention for our good purposes. And as the Lord then gives or allows those tests, he also gives the means to pass those tests. He gives us his word. He gives us the promise that he will not give us more than we can stand up underneath. We may feel like we're at the breaking point, but he knows what that breaking point is. He's like that spiritual fitness trainer that pushes us beyond what we think is our limit. He does that for our good, to strengthen that core. Because he knows if that core is not strengthened, what's going to happen? The things of this life are going to chip at it. And eventually, we'll just be weak and flabby. But the Lord is meaning to strengthen us, to firm us up in the faith. And so he tells us in advance what to expect. I'm going to send you tests. I'm going to send you trials and tribulations before you enter the kingdom of heaven. Not because I enjoy that, but because I'm trying to strengthen you and keep you on that path, because I know how easy it can be for people to stray if they're not connected. As Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Remain connected to me and you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. At least nothing of significance. Nothing that lasts. You can't take your construction firm with you to heaven. Your construction firm is not going to get you to heaven. You can't take your car collection to heaven. You can't drive there. The one thing that gets you to heaven is Jesus. And so when tests come into your life, what is God trying to tell you? Remain or get connected to Jesus. He provides then in his word reminders of how he does provide. He reminds us of who he is. He is a God who does not sleep or slumber, who does not take pleasure in the death of anyone, who is omniscient and omnipotent, one that we can cast our anxiety on and lean on him rather than our own understanding. He gives us the example of the heroes of faith and how they endured the various tests that they encountered. But ultimately, the Lord provides in giving us his Son. His Son who was tempted in every way as we are, yet was without sin. The Son who endured test after test. I mean, think of the tests he endured with his own disciples. You still don't get it. But he was patient with them. Or the enemies who kept needling him again and again and again with conversations and physical threats and even got him on the cross. And he endured, knowing his Father would provide. And he was willing to go to that cross where he took then all the failed moments that we have and all the complaints that we have to the cross so that they would not be held against us. Jesus then became our substitute on the cross. You know, a term we oftentimes use for that substitutionary work on the cross is vicarious atonement, substitutionary reconciliation. Through such, we have become at one with God. And through that substitutionary act, we then don't have to experience what he experienced there on the cross, being forsaken by his Father, by our Father. But rather, we are able to be at one with him now and into eternity. What a gift God has given to us by going through the sacrificing of his only Son. So that we wouldn't have to. What then is not misplaced? Your trust in the Lord is not misplaced. As we go through this life, and what's this life filled with? Tests. Tests which are meant to keep us connected to our Lord. God help us then stay connected to him. And he does through his word. Who can you encourage with that reminder today? Amen. The peace of God which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. We join together in a confession of faith. It's printed out for us on page 8. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We also pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for reconciling us to yourself through the sufferings and death of your dear Son. Through him we have confidence to enter into your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Out of the infinite bounty of your goodness, grant us a rich measure of your Spirit.
Let the love of Christ fill your church, so that it may flourish in all the universe. Help us to love and compassion for all who are in need.
Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you.
Strengthen our faith so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our bodily needs.
Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid.
Help us.
Lord, give us always generous hearts to use what you have given, to spread your gospel near and far and bring people into heaven. Life is precious. Thank you for the gift of life, able to be celebrated this week as family and friends celebrate a birthday. Since life is a gift from you, O Lord, continue to grant good health to Ruth Vogt as she is expecting with child. Bring spiritual renewal and mental health to the Dan Moeller family, as they are being tested with various health challenges and the recent loss of a family member. Continue to guide them as they seek to be your witnesses. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus, our Savior.
Amen.
As we continue with the sacrament, lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power.
By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven.
Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave it thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you. we pray.
Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may hold firmly to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Just a reminder, Bible study taking place here in the church proper this morning, 9:30. We are looking at the book of Philippians. And if you want to join the Sunday school children in some songs from 9:15 to 9:30, you're welcome to meet in the chapel for that. And second midweek Lenten service this coming Wednesday, 6:30. Supper will be provided at 5:30 in the multipurpose center. Just again, direct your attention to the weekly news for other things that are going on campus or off campus this week or this month. Blessings on your day in the Lord as we continue to grow in our trust in Him.